Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2266 with a release date of Friday, April 2nd, 2021, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The UK prepares to resume in-person license exams. A worldwide balloon launch marks the equinox. And the Last Man Standing special event goes out with a bang. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2266 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story takes us to a frozen Arctic island where the rewards of a physically grueling de-expedition included something even more than the thousands of contacts logged by the team. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, brings us that story.
The RI0Q de-expeditioners have arrived back on the mainland following a challenging but successful activation of the rare Arctic iota AS-152. The island, named Bolshoi Begachev after its discoverer Nikifor Begachev in 1908, held many discoveries for the team during their one-week activation. Challenges included making a large part of the trip by snowmobile. Once they arrived on March 20, they remained constantly vigilant for polar bears, wolves and incoming blizzards, especially as they were setting up for operations. By March 26th, as the activation was winding down, they were able to enter into their online diary that they'd logged 6,913 QSOs, representing more than 4,000 unique call signs. Their departure came just as a blizzard was supposed to come blasting in. There was one event they did not miss, however, nor did they want to miss it, because it was spectacular. DX WorldNet reported on its Twitter feed March 27, and I quote, "The RI0Q team are already back on the mainland. As they left the island, the northern light started to show. Looks like they left at the right time," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Congratulations to the activators of the Last Man Standing special event, which went QRT on Wednesday, March 30th. Starting on March 24th, the team logged more than 85,000 QSOs, contacting 1,850 counties in 50 states and 138 countries. There were 134 contacts using Moon Bounce, and yes, there were pileups. The multi-mode effort was also a multimedia one, featuring live streaming of operators as they navigated pileups. Coordinated by Lou Maggio, NO2C, and Sally Rosato, K2RYD, of the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, and the show's executive producer, John Amadeo, AA6JA, it was an experience many of the dozens of operators in both the U.S. and Canada said will remain with them even as the studio goes dark after the show's final day of production. Last Man Standing featured Tim Allen, KK6OTD, as Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, and was celebrated for putting amateur radio in a positive light in the public eye. In the UK, the Radio Society of Great Britain has resumed booking in-person exams. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, gives us those details.
Examiners in the UK have begun planning the resumption of exams for amateur radio candidates wishing to sit them in a club setting with an in-person invigilation. With this in mind, the Radio Society of Great Britain said it anticipates booking for the in-person exams from club examination secretaries once the government has lifted all COVID-19 restrictions in their part of the UK. The booking process is expected to be more streamlined than previously. The remote invigilation, which began last year during the pandemic lockdown, will continue as an option. Mandatory practical assessments at foundation level will remain suspended until a review led by the Examination Standards Committee and Exam and Syllabus Review Group can determine their long-term future, clarifying whether they should continue, and if so, in what form. In yet another sign of post-COVID life in the UK, the RSGB Contest Committee began accepting portable entries in contests from stations in England, provided the stations strictly follow local COVID measures. England dropped its stay-at-home restriction on the 29th of March, meaning portable operations can resume. The RSGB cautions, however, that portable multi-operator entries must comprise people from the same households because vans, cars and tents are considered indoor environments and indoor mixing of households is still prohibited. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In other business that has caught Newsline's attention, Paul Devlin, G1SMP, the joint winner with the Radio Society of Great Britain of the 2020 Amateur Radio Newsline International Newsmaker of the Year Award for the Get on the Air to Care public campaign, is standing for election as a director of the RSGB board at the upcoming AGM in April. As there are two nominees for two positions, I think we can say Paul will be elected. And we at Newsline would like to be the first to congratulate Paul and wish him well in his new role. In Alabama, where tornadoes raged through part of the landscape in late March, one radio amateur made an especially painful discovery about the importance of preparedness. Randy Sly, W4XJ, brings us that story.
James Spann, W04W, is no stranger to severe weather. As chief meteorologist for WBMA in Birmingham, Alabama, he is a familiar TV face during tornado activations, always reminding viewers that they need a severe weather plan. In fact, when he and his wife built a new home a few years ago, they included a storm shelter. Last week, tornadoes and other severe weather pummeled the state, wrecking buildings and killing at least five people in one county. During his report on a long track of violent storms, he suddenly said, "What I'm doing is texting my wife to be sure she's in the shelter." He moved off camera, with a coworker taking over. Rejoining less than 15 minutes later, he shared some bad news with his viewers. His home was hit by a tornado. "The reason I had to step out," he explained, "we had major damage at my house. I had to be sure. My wife is okay, but the tornado came right through there, and it's not good. It's bad. It's bad." However, their preparedness made the difference. "My wife got the warning," he said. "She had a plan. She was in the shelter, and she's fine." Then Spann went back to work, making sure others would be informed and safe, too. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Randy Sly, W4XJ.
If you missed the HamSci virtual event, which was live-streamed on March 19th and 20th, you can attend via YouTube, where video recordings of the workshops are now available. This is the second year HamSci went virtual in response to the global pandemic. The free program, supported by the National Science Foundation and the University of Scranton, featured presenters on such topics as personal space weather stations, mid-latitude sporadic E, weak signal VHF propagation, and related topics. A link to the recorded programming for days 1 and 2 can be found in the printed version of this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org. Spring in the Northern Hemisphere isn't just about flowers waking up and starting to bloom. It's also about balloons. Mike Askins, KE5CXP, explains.
When the medium altitude balloon launched by science teacher Jill Gravante took to the sky on March 20th from an upstate New York junior high school, the event was part of a wide-ranging celebration dispatching 14 such balloons, linking students and teachers involved in STEM activities worldwide. In what was called the Equinox Balloon Launch, each balloon carried a lightweight SkyTracker, APRS, and WSPR payload, all solar-powered. They were launched from various spots in the U.S., Argentina, and Australia on paths that 1 week later had them sailing over Siberia, China, and South Africa. After the launch at Winburn Middle School in Kentucky, science teacher Jenny McCall and Ron Malinowski, WX4GPS, later tracked the balloon named Bessie over southern Siberia, heading into Mongolia. Although it's not spring in his part of the world, the launch even attracted involvement by Melbourne teacher Greg Hellard. Bill Brown, WB8ELK, the designer of the SkyTracker technology, said the launches were coordinated by Washington State High School teacher Trevor McDuff, KS1LAS, with the help from Los Angeles science educator Joanne Michael, KM6BWB. The enthusiasm, however, needed no coordination at all. In fact, Joanne posted on Facebook that befitting a project that involved students, it was a textbook launch. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including WA5AIR, the Texas Link System, which carries Newsline on 7 repeaters on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. local time. Do you have an opinion on radio spectrum use in Australia? Well, the Australian Communications and Media Authority wants to hear from you. Here's John Williams, VK4JJW.
The ACMA is looking for input on a draft of its 5-year spectrum plan, a key document that will guide its priorities in allocating and managing frequencies in the years ahead. The proposed changes are being drawn up in consultation with members of the telecommunications industry, radio hobbyists, and others in the community. This is the first such draft to be created under the Radio Communications Legislation Amendment, Reform and Modernisation Act of 2020. Priorities are expected to be heavily impacted by the ACMA's goal to support deployment of 5G services throughout Australia. A review is also ongoing to replace apparatus licences with non-assigned amateur licensing arrangements as a way of keeping licensees' costs affordable and to reduce the burden on regulators. The ACMA has a number of options for replacing the current apparatus license, but prefers the establishment of non-assigned amateur and outpost stations under a class license. The agency also plans to review the prospect of creating licenses for higher power operations and intends to consult with the amateur community on this issue. Feedback may be submitted to the ACMA no later than April 28th. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
The Ogden Amateur Radio Club, one of Utah's oldest ham radio clubs, bears the call sign of its founder, Dr. W. Glenn Garner, W7SU. He became its first president shortly after its founding 100 years ago this May. The club is marking its centennial with an array of activities, including a special event station in May and a centennial QSL card contest for its members. Newsline congratulates the Ogden amateurs on 100 great years. IARU Region 1 is assessing its future and hoping for a younger perspective. Here's Ed Durant, DD5LP, to tell us what's up next.
Faced with eroding enrollment in many of its member societies, IARU Region 1 has begun organising a workshop on keeping amateur radio vibrant as licensees age. Discussions about the workshop were held at its general conference on March 24th. The workshop itself will be held in October of this year, hosted by the Serbian Amateur Radio Society. If COVID restrictions are still in place at the time, the workshop will be conducted virtually instead. Participants are particularly concerned about the lack of top leadership among amateurs 35 and younger. The committee wrote on the IARU website, quote, "The IARU Region 1 Executive Committee shares that it's time for change and we need to start moving forward, working together and changing the current trends. We need to focus our thinking and way of operating," end quote. Towards that end, the committee said it was committed to bringing new people into the discussion. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
RF control links being used at 420 and 430 megahertz to set up a linked repeater system in New Mexico are being cited as potential sources of interference to critical systems at the nearby White Sands Missile Range, the largest open-air test range of the United States Department of Defense. The department's regional spectrum coordinator, the FCC, and the ARRL worked together to track down the amateur radio communications, which were discovered to come from the repeater system's RF control links on 70 centimeters. Amateur radio is a secondary service on the band. The owners of the control links have been asked to re-coordinate the frequencies by May 31st. A popular net among the youngest amateurs in New Zealand just got a little bigger and a little more ambitious. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us how they're growing.
Like everything that starts out in life, young and small, the net formerly known as Young Transmitters New Zealand has grown up. It is rebranded and expanded to become the Yota Oceania Net. The Net's founder, Thomas Bernard, ZL3TOM, announced the change in a recent newsletter, telling Newsline that the Net is now run in partnership with youngsters on the air. Recognizing that, participants hope to connect with other hams in more regions than before. The NET is held Mondays at 0600 UTC on All-Star and Echolink. Tom uses the special event callsign ZL6YOTA during the NET to encourage more young amateurs to check in. For more information about the NET and ways to join this growing community, visit his website at ZL3TOM.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, Matthew M0ZMS has announced he will be heading to the Falkland Islands at the end of April and hopes to get on the air from this rare DX using the call sign VP8ZMS. He may also use the call sign VP8RAF on occasion. Matthew will be promoting awareness of the Royal Air Force Amateur Radio Society. Matthew is the serving member's representative of the society and will be deploying to the British Forces South Atlantic Islands Mount Pleasant Complex for the activation. Find his operating details and other information on the Twitter page for VP2ZMS. He will QSL on Logbook the World and Club Log and will issue paper QSL cards upon his return to the UK after August. Be listening for John MW1CFN operating as GB1004FTS from Angsley Island off the Welsh mainland's northwest coast until April 8th. He is marking the 100th anniversary of the Royal Air Force's No. 4 Flying Training School. Listen for him on various HF bands as well as 6 and 2 meters. He will be using single sideband and the digital modes. Send QSLs directly to his home call. Danish radio amateurs are active with two special call signs, OZ75BO and OZ75MAY, until April 11th to mark the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Bornholm Island following the end of World War II. Be listening on all bands, including the Wark bands, where operators will be using CW, single sideband, and all the digital modes. Operators on the island itself will be using the OZ75BO call. Send QSLs via OZ1ACB or Club Logs OQRS. Operators prefer to not receive a paper QSL card. A special award is available. We end this week with the story of a grateful graduate of an Indiana college. He and his wife have given the school the gift of amateur radio. Here's Dave Parks, WB8ODF, with that story.
Bill Becker, AA8RW, may have graduated from college in Indiana in 1950, but to a small group of undergrads studying there now, he is undisputably the big man on campus. During Bill's time as a radio engineering student, the Angola, Indiana school was known as Tri-State College. Today its name is Trine University, and its campus is where the Michigan resident and his wife Helen, KG8TQ, recently helped awaken the Students Amateur Radio Club from dormancy by donating money and equipment. Many of the 15 members are studying electrical engineering as Bill did, or other forms of engineering and information technology. When they're not tending to their academic obligations, they're hosting the weekly NET of the Trine University Amateur Radio Club. According to the university's website, the young hams are also mentoring would-be licensees and building new equipment and antennas. The club's president, Tim Mayer, KD2TCP, licensed for 2 years and majoring in mechanical engineering, said, "The club also hopes to get involved next in EME and satellite communications. The students can look forward to aiming for the sky because of this generous husband and wife who never forgot the thrill of keying the mic or sending some CW and discovering the world," said faculty advisor Kevin Wolverton, KW9S. "Without them, it wouldn't have been possible to start and continue." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
With thanks to the ACMA, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Bill Brown, WBADLK, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, DXWorld.net, HamSci, IARU Region 1, Last Man Standing Special Event, RI0Q Online Diary, Trine University, Ogden Amateur Radio Club, Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, QRZ.com, Radio World, Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, ShortwaveRadio.de, Twitter, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2021, all rights reserved.